You wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. I cover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 410, released today, recorded live July 22nd, 2015. I'm your host, Ed Hardhat, with
Scott Burks,
Steven Zadifinitum, and
Miles 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Now, see what happens? You get past the show, and you don't do it due to gremlins or other magical widgets of the ghost in the machine, where your computer decides, Andy, we're not working today. And so, yeah, we didn't do a show last week, so I'm a little rusty. I'm trying to get things.
Well, you didn't do a show last week.
No. We did a show.
You guys did. and it was glorious.
We did a 15-minute show for the people in the chat room.
That was good. So, yes, I literally sent out, I felt so bad. The week before that, we were hit with major thunderstorms, which took out the power for most of the evening. Then last week, whatever Windows voodoo they do messed everything up for doing the show last week. So I sent out a little apology, and Mr. Burks was not pleased with that.
I just didn't feel it was sincere.
You know, when you sit there on your second fifth and you're really upset, sometimes that sincerity comes out a little harder than it should. I'm just saying. But yeah, that's how it is, and it's I'm sorry. And like I said, next week, Windows 10 on the 29th. Yay, this will be fun.
It's not like we get paid to do this.
We do. We get paid in love and comments.
In smileys.
In smileys. It's good stuff. So, yeah, interesting things. Let's see. Geocaching this week. You know it's warm out when you look at the thermometer and it go, oh, whew, it's only 93.
God.
That tells you what the heat index has been all week. It's been between 105 and 110 or more. And so, yeah, I don't do heat.
Yeah, we finally hit the 90s in Chicago.
Wow! And you were wearing coats like the week or two back.
I know. We finally, like, summer finally came in late July. I mean, right now it's 73 degrees right now in Chicago.
Yep. Yeah, it's craziness. It really is.
Right. Well, over the weekend we hit mid 90s over the weekend.
Yeah.
First time in 2015.
Wow, the Great Lakes might actually melt.
Walked off a plane this morning at 3 a.m., 85 degrees, and a nice, warm, wet blanket.
Oh, that humidity so, you can chew.
Oh, yeah. So it's been running about heat index of about 107 all week.
Well, that kind of, that nighttime one where it like punches you in the face when you walk out the door.
Oh, yeah. It's literally, like, that's how they talk about it.
But that's like 3 months out of the year here. So, yeah, Indiana, you might get a little bit of that during August, a tiny bit. And it really doesn't measure up to what's down here. Someone else was commenting on Facebook to me about that. And I was like, yeah, until you've lived down here, it's like you don't know what heat is.
Yeah, it's something. It really is. All right, Mr. Scott, how'd you do this week?
Good, actually. Got out for the weekend. We haven't done much caching over the weekends because we've got the kids, Jesse and I. So we finally did not have the kids. And we went And did a series, a puzzle series, 9 caches that, like, you know, you had to solve one to get to the next one kind of thing. So if you couldn't DNF any of them at all, or you could get to the next cache. And we had a group of about 8 people, had a great day. We started at 6:30 in the morning because it was going to be so hot that day that we wanted to try and beat the heat. So it was an 8-mile hike, 9 caches, all puzzle caches, just a great morning. It was really great. A lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, I just want to be able to go geocaching out and not hear the sizzle of the bottom of my tennis shoes melting to the asphalt. That's all I want. All I want. Corey, how about yourself?
You know, I did pretty good. I was actually out shopping today among all the great tourists that come visit Glacier National Park, and I overheard one of them say, I thought Montana's not supposed to be hot. So just want to let you guys know that. Yeah, it was still 90 degrees up here. It was still hot. I think it got up to 94 today.
Wow.
I had a great event this week for the Road Trip 15. I hosted an event. It was my meet and greet and intervention with Janice. Janice is one of our listeners from North Dakota. He came out and said, hey, how about we have a meet and greet? So we made an event out of it, and it was awesome. And so I got to meet with Genies, and then Lego Laws is also another one of our listeners. He was able to make it up here, and so got to meet a couple of our listeners, and got a cool gadget cashier that looks similar to what like WV Tim does, but this is out of North Dakota. This is by Tri-Caches. And similar to the birdhouse style that we've seen, it's a great gadget cache, and I have still yet to open it for the first time, but it will get published here soon.
Wait.
Because he hasn't figured out how yet.
I was going to say.
You can't open it, or you just haven't opened it?
What?
You can't open it, or you haven't opened it?
I haven't opened it yet.
Because you can't.
You can't figure it out yet.
I don't have the necessary special tools yet.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah, smart.
So your GPS does not have any AA's in it.
I don't have an extensive phone list like Scott does.
Ah.
Well played. I'll go.
Wow. Wow. This is why we keep all our hosts at different corners of the country, folks. I'm just saying.
This is why we never cash with each other.
We're too busy tripping each other down the trail. Wow, that's awesome, though. Yeah, so when do you plan on putting that out, Corey?
Here in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
There's plenty of places around here, so.
That's good. Yeah, well, I was going to say Montana's kind of big, so I'm thinking you got some space.
Yeah, holy still cow. Still more deer per people. six deer per people here.
Well, that's good to know. And for, like I said, when the zombie apocalypse hits, you're all set.
I'm good.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mr. Taz, how about yourself? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a good weekend. A friend of mine, who's a cashier here in the Houston area, but he's originally from Holland, is heading back to Holland after 3 years. We had an event at the park, and there are 7 new caches out there, so a bunch of us went around and grabbed those caches in the park on Saturday. And Sunday, I managed to get my D5 cache with a friend on a cache caught at least 50 gallons.
Wow.
And I think it might take 50 gallons, but we poured some water down it.
Wow.
I tried it in 2011 when we had the drought here. And it drank 2 coolers full of water.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It didn't come up. Yeah.
How far down does it go?
Nobody knows.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
And then I flew out to California on Monday just to grab a few caches and flew back last night. Yeah. But yeah, I went there just to grab a couple of travel bug hotels
and
climb a tree and, well, maybe interview with another company.
But. I was going to say, how much money do you make? Good Lord.
Be my friend.
A couple of days.
But one of the travel bug hotels was really cool. It's only been out for a couple of years. It's actually a letterbox that's a travel bug Rock Hotel, and here's a picture of it. And one of the few times you'll actually see me with a dress shirt and tie on.
Oh, my God.
So this was after my interview, obviously. And I met the gentleman. His catchy name is Bud's Done Working. So he's a retired gentleman, and he pulled me into his garage to show me a cache that he's working on that I think WB Tim would actually be jealous of. It's a nice outhouse travel bug hotel, which, you know, it flushes the toilet as you open the door, and you got to figure out how to get into the cache container. So it was really cool, nice meeting him. So then I got on the airplane, managed to get home at 3 a.m., walked up the plane, it was like, went like...
Yeah, nothing like that that southern humidity to slap you in the face and say, hi, y'all.
Exactly.
Welcome back, y'all.
That's awesome, man. That is some good stuff. And, hey, anytime you want to just fly someplace, send me a ticket. I'll be glad to go with you, man.
Yeah, I didn't pay for this ticket.
Oof. Man, good stuff. All right, let's move on so we can get our guest on the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching community. What's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 186, which is their randomized 35. You know, after you get to a certain point in number, guys, I think it's time to, you know, cut that limit off. I'm just saying. They've got a, now Scott can laugh because he's actually on this show. Hey, just want to let you know a reminder, Scott. They'll have a panel of podcasters barring any last minute issues. Gee, I don't know what that's like. Mr. Scott Burks, Mark Downing from OBeep, Michael Miller from Cash and Release, Chris Umfenauer, whatever the heck that guy is. I don't know who it is.
I had no idea who was on the show, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's bad cop enough. And Daryl the Wonder Dog is going to be on as well. And that'll all be on the randomized show on GeoGearheads tomorrow, Scott.
I'm gonna be late to the show. I got a t-ball game at 6:15.
There you go.
Hightail it back from Deerfield. It's like an hour drive.
Wow. You
never hightail it back show. For our shows. You just
hail on it. Well, no, because the baseball game start at the same time as our show.
I'm just saying. There's no grief between our hosts whatsoever. It's all love. It's all love. And let's see. Also tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, it's going to be our July 2015 mishmash episode where wife Amy and myself go over a bevy of geocaching concepts brought up by our viewers and listeners. So look forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And finally, before we bring on our guests, please consider becoming a patron to our show. We greatly appreciate it. We've got a bunch of patrons that just joined up with us over the past couple of weeks. Thank you very much. Like we said in the past, the big bills come up towards the end of the year. We get bills during every month, but the big ones come up towards the end of the year, and we really need to have that in place so that we can keep doing this instead of trying to do it through can and string, which actually sometimes might be a little more reliable, but I'm just saying, that's how that goes. All right, let's move on to the geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, thinking back to your first geocache find, did you find any more caches that day? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that just over 30% were one and done that first day, although not for trying for in some cases. Another 69% did go on and find more. So here's what we heard. Adam on Twitter shared, "It was a firestorm after that moment and hasn't stopped." Dawn on Facebook shared, "Yes, I had planned to only go and try for that one, but after the thrilling victory of finding it, I quickly looked up some more and I was on my way." Well, Brent shared, "Nope, just the one I slipped out while I was working. It was across the street." Hey, Brent, nicely done. Well, TSMola01 shared, no, saturation was pretty low in the area back then. I think it was a day or two later I found my next one. Well, you know, my story is about the same. My first find was pretty remote in northern Idaho while I was up camping up the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River. That was the only cache for many, many miles at the time. I was, of course, hooked. Well, it was another week until I found my next two caches. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about first finds, and you can too, if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Greatly appreciate it, and good to have you back on the show. We missed you the past few weeks, and very good to hear the question of the day once again. All right, folks, I know you're going to be completely shocked and dismayed when I say this. For tonight's episode, for the Geocaching Podcast, episode 410, West Bend $1,000 Cache Bash 2015, we've got a very special guest, and I'm going to actually make sure he's still on. Craig, you with us?
I am, Andy. How are you doing?
I am doing great. So what I was trying to tell to the fine folks here is the fact that I'm going to shut up because we have a much more experienced host here when it comes to the West Bend Cache Bash. We have Mr. Scott Burks. Now, the other guys are more than welcome to ask questions as we go along as usual, but Scott definitely has the overall knowledge of everything when it comes to the Cache Bash. So I'm going to take it away, and Mr. Scott, the show's yours, sir.
Thank you. Craig, how are you today, sir?
I am great, and, you know, I've been listening to you fellas talk about the weather. The weather in West Bend right now is a beautiful evening. It is 69 degrees going down to 58, and I've looked forward while I was waiting to come on, and the projected weather for Friday, August 7th, and Saturday, August 8th, is 74 for a high, and 62 and 61 for lows.
Wow. Craig, you officially suck.
We have a conditioner called Lake Michigan, and being about 12 miles west of it, we have these lovely breezes that come blowing in and cool us down. So if that isn't enough to get some of your listeners to come to West Bend, I don't know what is.
Oh, I'm taking a plane now. I'm just saying.
Let me set this up, Craig, before I give you the floor. I've been going to West Bend, and I'm going again this year. This will be, my sixth year going. This is their eighth year. I've gone for 6 years. I've actually been on the main stage. I think this is the fifth year that we're going to be on the main stage. But I love it. It's great. It's only about an hour and a half from my house, and it's this West Bend, for anybody who doesn't know, is a tiny little town about a half an hour north of Milwaukee. They're about 40 minutes north of Milwaukee. It's a tiny little town, but it's just loaded with caches. And when I say loaded with caches, I mean every 528 feet there's a cache. They are ridiculously everywhere. And I've gone there 5 years in a row, and I haven't made a dent. This tiny little town, there's that many caches. Because even the outskirts roads, there's you know, 100 caches that way, and 100 caches that way, and 100 caches that way. It's incredible. And every year they put on this little, I wouldn't say little, it's not a little at all. They put on this mega West Bend Geobash, and it's phenomenal. And it's a great place. And they've had me and Walt Grogan, who did the Chicago Geocacher podcast for 4 years. And they've had me and Walt on every year. And, you know, Craig has said you guys are always welcome back. And It's awesome. We're on the main stage every year. It's just a lot of fun. Back to Craig. Craig, why don't you tell them a little about the actual Cache Bash this year?
Well, the Cache Bash, every year we try and make it a little bit different, Scott, because as you know, we're growing as a geocaching mecca, and I'm sure know that we've trademarked that we are the geocaching capital of the Midwest. With the caches we're hiding for this particular event, because every year we hide 66 new ones, we will be up around 1,500 caches within a 10-mile radius of our community. So gives you some idea. We had a lady come in from Chicago, and that's my old hometown. But she said, well, I don't understand how West Bend could possibly be the geocaching capital of the Midwest. Chicago must have more. And I said, well, do you have that many in a small area? And she said, no. I said, do you have a mega event? She said, no. And I said, well, that's how we can do it.
Okay.
So we're at a point now where with the number of caches we're bringing in, we're trying some new things. We'll have the 66 caches, but we're going to have, and I don't know how many of your listeners have tried a lab cache. You know, that was introduced by geocaching, I guess, what, a year ago? And we're going to have 8 of our caches this year will be lab caches. And we've got a number of other types of caches, you know, something pretty much for everybody. We have 8 ADA accessible caches. We have a swim lab cache. We've got a cache that you either have to wade out or get in a boat. We have 44 traditional caches. From the 1-1s to we've got one that's a 4-2 and a mystery cache that's a 4-4. So, you know, we have something pretty much for every level of geocacher.
Absolutely. And what I love about that West Bend is in a park called Regner Park every year. It's a beautiful, huge park. And what I love is in that park, there's a ton of geocaches right in that park. And I think, Craig, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every type cache is represented in that park. You can get every type of cache in that park, aside from obviously
grandfathered.
Grandfathered ones. But like every type of cache is in that park. It's fantastic. So it really is for everybody. I mean, I got a 5-5 there a couple of years ago when I was there. I mean, every type of cache is within a 10 mile square radius. It's really amazing. And what I love, Craig, what I really love about West Bend, my favorite part, is the community. It's really amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the community there in West Bend?
Sure. Well, when I started this back 8 years ago, you know, it was something no one in West Bend knew what geocaching was all about. And it's taken some time, but we've recognized the value of what the geocaching community can do for our community. And we have signs that are in virtually every window of every store in West Bend. We provide hang tags for all of the people that are coming to put on the rear window of their car. So that it says basically that, you know, they're out geocaching, it's not an abandoned car. We have, you know, on the reader boards of the McDonald's and the Jumbos and all of the different businesses that have reader boards, they're all welcoming the geocachers. I've had people come up and say, we've never been treated like this anywhere. Usually people kind of think of us as, you know, we're skulking around in the back, you know, what are we doing? Is it something bad? Or,
right.
You know, and we come to your town and everybody knows what geocaching is, and they're just happy to have us. That, you know, it took some training, and we finally turned the corner about 3 years ago, and now it's just, you know, it really is a mecca for geocachers.
I agree. I mean, it's not even just the restaurants and the hotels and whatnot. And they're all awesome. Everybody's awesome there. The restaurants, like he said, every board's got welcome geocachers on it and all that stuff. But it's also the people in the town. It's amazing. I mean, I think it was actually last year you guys had that you got to find stuff within the town. What's that called? I can't think of the name of it. But we had to find a bunch of different things within the town. You know, my girlfriend Jessie and I were doing the game for the West Bend. And I actually went up to a local, just a guy, and he was mowing his lawn. I'm like, do you have this? And he looked at the list, and I got 3 things off the list. Just from his. He's like, yeah, I got one in the barn. Hold on, I'll go get it. And he actually went and got it. I mean, that's just awesome. You know, like, you know who I was, you know. And
it's just, it's,
Yeah, thank you. A scavenger hunt. And the town has completely embraced it. It's really impressive. Craig, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the benefit of a little small town. You know, we're far enough away from Milwaukee that we're not really a suburb. We're a community. We're the county seat for Washington County. And it grew up as a separate little community. Consequently, there is a community spirit and a pride in West Bend. And, you know, I'm a guy that has spent a career in the hotel industry, and I've moved around. I had 11 homes over the course of my career. and to end up in Little West Bend and doing what I'm doing, this was kind of like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. The people are genuine. They care about each other. They care about, you know, the tourists coming in, and they're proud of what we've got here. And you know, Scott, you mentioned Regner Park. Now that's 75 acres, and when we started the Cash Bash that very first year, the buildings there were, well, we won't call them dilapidated, but they were certainly have seen hard times. Because of Cash Bash and because of some of the other events that have been taking place there, you know, they have rebuilt the pavilion, they built the bandstand out, they built that stage, which did not exist up until about 3.5 or 4 years ago. You know, all of those things have all become part of this jewel of a park, which is right in the center of our community. And we're unique in that our event really doesn't move around. You know, you look at Geo Woodstock or any of the other mega events, they tend to bounce around and they're in different states or in different locations within a state. We're in the same spot every year, and there is both a comfort to that. People get to kind of know the folks in the restaurants, and they know even the people when they're pumping gas. They, you know, they're recognized as being cashers and certainly welcome. So you know, it makes a big difference as compared to a much larger community where it would have been impossible for me to really kind of teach the community of what geocaching was about. But we also have some really what I would call senior geocachers. You know, you have the Eco Rangers, who have been part of my committee since the very beginning. Elle Dove, Farm Girl. These are people that have been so dedicated to not just our event, but to geocaching in general, that they're what makes this event so great. Is we have some amazing hides that every year, you know, and as you were mentioning, you know, it's there's always something new and different, and you know, that's what makes this special. You know, I was looking at the numbers, and we have, in addition to roughly, oh, I don't know, I think it's about 44 traditional caches, but we have 7 multi caches. We have 3 puzzle caches. We have couple of letterbox caches, and then we've got this mystery cache plus these 8 lab caches. So, you know, there's something for everybody, and it's a good thing because being an old marketing guy, I like to kind of keep track of statistics, and what I found is that every year we end up with about 20%, well, maybe a little more than that, maybe about 25% of the folks who attend have found under 500 finds. About 19% have found under 1,000, about 27% have found under 5,000, and then the remainder of roughly, you know, say 28% have found over 5,000. So the mix is always the same. You know, as people are become more familiar with geocaching, they kind of move up the ladder in terms of their finds, but we're continuing to keep the folks that have found 5, 10, 15, 20, and more 1,000 caches, they're still coming back every year because we have such a wide range of different caches that are available, and they all get hidden. That 66 is all hidden and comes out live on the Friday morning that we start.
Mm-hmm. And they always it actually is a whole weekend. I mean, they have, you know, I think you have the Friday night thing to start with, and then the whole Saturday day, and then you got the Sunday breakfast. And then all the other events, the scavenger hunt finals and all that. Are you doing the scavenger hunt again this year? If you are, but like, do you have all the finals for that stuff throughout Sunday as well? Correct.
Yeah.
And you know the best part about the weekend is tiny little town. The police know that you're there. So they don't bother you at all. They're great. They drive right by you.
Yeah. No, they didn't have any bike pass in West Bend.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do they have any bike pass in West Bend? Sorry.
Bike pass?
Do they have bike paths in West Bend?
Yes, there is. We have what we call the Eisenbahn Trail, and that is a walking and riding trail. It is paved through West Bend, so there's roughly 5 miles of it is paved, but it's the old railroad right-of-way for the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, and it goes for about 30 miles. So a lot of it is crushed gravel, but we paved it within the city limits of West Bend and it gets a tremendous amount of use. And there are a number of caches hidden right along the Eisenbahn, and some of those, of course, are great because they're ADA accessible. And, you know, it makes it easy for folks who have maybe some mobility problems to get around and find those as well.
Nice. Now, Craig, just make sure that they are well marked for Scott when he comes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and in fact, what we have this year, Scott, we put in our program that we put out, we put a cache grid that actually lists all 66 of the caches in one spot, and it's, you know, they're the you see the ADA just sign, or you see one is, as I said, is a swimming that requires swimming. There are some that require a boat, and so on. So they're all marked appropriately and easy for people to get around. Everything, of course, is coordinated with the GPS coordinates. And we not only just identify where the caches are hidden, but also where they can park, which is also an important fact because, you know, we want them to be in a safe place where they're not going to get run over by local traffic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was taking a look here. You know, I was just on the cache page, and I was really intrigued. I mean, this makes me, as a cacher, really interested in going, because, you know, when you hear geocache, you know, the West Bend, you know, cache bash, you know, I typically didn't know what to expect because I've never been out there. You know, I've always wanted to go, but being out in the West, it's something that's a little bit further for me. But I mean, because you know, you've got the lab caches that you're doing out there. You have the West Bend Geo Tour that's out there. You know, of course, you've got the $1,000 cash prize drawing that you're doing, but you've also got a general cash general prize drawing that you guys are doing. And there's different ways that a cacher could earn more raffle tickets to do that. And I like the way that you guys set that up. There's different games that somebody could do throughout the weekend, like, you know, the, of course, the geobingo and golf or something like that, but you also got pirates that you have to go find to collect beads to earn another ticket.
Right. And that's the thing. What we've tried to do is to look at the demographics of who is attending our event and then have things available for each group, you know, so we have the tough caches for the really seasoned geocaches, but we also know that we get a lot of families, and, you know, if they've got young kids, they're probably going to be finding 10 or 15. They're excited as hell to have found it, but the kids kind of poop out, and, you know, so they get a swim pass, and they can swim in our swim pond or go to our splash pad. You know, so there is, we try to keep everyone in mind as we're doing this, and it really helps to continue to propagate the event this way, because people know that regardless of their level, they're going to be able to fit right in. And you know, some of these folks are happy if they find five or six. I mean, that they're newbies and they're just excited as hell, and they feel that, you know, they were able to attend something that was really special. And for the season, we've got a few people that by 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon, they found all 66. And it's like, how the heck did they do that? It's pretty amazing. And yet, you know, they're gamers and they really, they run between caches and what have you. So, you know, but we do have different things going on. We've got Signal the Frog coming this year.
Now I'm
every year,
coming.
Our mayor comes
now
out and greets all of the cachers, tries to come up with a new geocaching joke, which is not easy. There aren't many jokes that we're aware of geocaching. So we said, well, maybe we could take one. You know, how many geocaches does it take to change a light bulb or something? You know, we'll come up with something.
I was going
to
say, have you watched our show? Come on.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say anything.
I do need to know, Craig, how do I get the $1,000 check?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get a check for $1,000.
What
you're going to get is a check for $500 because we spread it out. We have a $500 first prize, a $250 second. We have a third and fourth that are each $100. and a $50 fifth place. And anyone that comes to our event and is registered will get a raffle ticket for the money. And so they don't have to find even a single cash. They can just come and we do have some cashers that just come just to kind of soak up the atmosphere. And they figure, they're close enough that they'll come and find a cache some other day. So they'll just kind of be there just having a good time. And, of course, they get a raffle ticket just like everybody else. Then what we do is we have this game card that is right in the center of our program. And as people go out and they start to find caches, what they would find, when they find the cache, there's going to be a stamp in it. And they have to put that stamp in the right numbered square for that cache. And for every 10 caches that they find, they get a raffle ticket for all of the other prizes, whether it's geocoins or, certificates for geocaching.com, product, or maybe a premier membership, all sorts of different things that the community kicks in and provides. So, there's a chance that even if you don't win the money, you might still win a geocoin or, a Garmin or something like that.
Yeah, because money's always a great attractor, and if I can get a couple extra bucks for some geocoins, that's all I need. I'm a happy camper.
Well, that's right. You know, what was funny is the very first year we did this, there was a couple of teams that came up from Florida. And I had pulled out the $250 winner, and this woman out in the audience said, "Well, I'm glad I didn't win that because I want to win the $500. Well, darned if she didn't. We pulled her ticket, and she won the $500. To say that she was just stunned and over the moon at the same time is just no small surprise on her part. I mean, it was just shocking, and it was funny as hell.
Oh, that's great.
There aren't, to the best of my knowledge, many mega events where not only do you not pay anything, but where you have a chance, where you get a backpack with goodies in it and all kinds of discount coupons and like I said, the hang tag for your rear-view mirror, you also have a chance to win some money and win prize. You know, I do this because it's part of my responsibility running tourism for the city of West Bend. And so I've used tourism dollars to be able to generate this whole program and to keep it going. And our prime objective is to bring people back into our community, to stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, and shop in our stores. And, they may leave some money behind, but they're going to take some great memories with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And it really is a great little town. It really is. And especially those hang tags. I mean, I still use that hang tag today. I think I've gotten like 3 years ago or 2 years ago. I still use that hang tag when I'm geocaching. I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's handy as hell. You know, it's just like, this car is not abandoned. I'm geocaching. whatever. And it's great. And Craig, really quick, I just want to thank you because if anybody could pull me a Walt out of retirement every year, it's Craig and the West Bend because we love going on a live stage every year and performing in front of the crowd, and some for West Bend who me and Walt were always the redhead stepchild of the geocaching podcast community, but Craig always said Craig said to us, and I have it on tape, I actually have it, you are always welcome here, and every year Craig he shoots us an email, you guys coming this year, and even though we're done. We say, absolutely, we love going there. I mean, honestly, if Craig said we can't be there, I would still go to West Bend because I love going to West Bend. I have so many memories from there, and I will. I will always go to West Bend, whether I'm on the late live stage or not. So thank you, Craig, so much for letting me once again, annoy and insult your people walking around.
Listen, Scott, we're thrilled to have you, and when you and Walt are doing that, we have so many people just kind of standing around in awe. You guys are celebrities, so what can I say?
It's shock. It's not awe.
So we appreciate that very much. Thank you, Craig. You're awesome. You are. And for anybody who doesn't know, Craig is being very humble.
We'd love to have
Craig's
you.
Craig's idea. This is that West Bend. Is the Cash Bash not your idea?
Yes. Actually, I came up with this. I had retired from the hotel industry, and I was doing some consulting, and a community in northern Wisconsin asked me to come up and create an event for them. And I'd been reading about geocaching, and I thought, wow, this would be a perfect thing to do. Well, they loved the idea, but decided they were not going to do it right away, and so they were not going to pay me. So I went back, and I registered it with the Library of Congress and sent them a note saying, well, if you ever want to use it, it's going to cost you some money. And about 2 months later, I got a job offer to come out of retirement and run the chamber up here. And that's a true story. So I was sitting in my office maybe 2 or 3 months in, and a young lady, Elle Dove, from our committee, she came into the office. She said, well, I don't know if you know anything about geocaching, but I'd like to hide a cache under the steps of the chamber. Would you mind? And I said, absolutely, I would not mind. Absolutely, I do know about geocaching. And come on inside, because I got this crazy idea. And that was really kind of the start of it. She helped pull the team together of the cachers who are doing the hides. You know, we're providing some money, and we provide the structure and all the administration and stuff that goes with it, things that these cachers hate. But what they bring that we're not able to do is they bring creative caches every year, something new, something different. And, you know, it's a perfect synergism between great cachers and some administration so that our events run very smoothly.
Yeah, and it's pretty incredible. It really is. Hats off to you. I think I told you to your face once, you're an absolutely brilliant man for coming up with that idea, because they must love you there for the amount of money you're generating to that little town every year.
Yeah. Well, this past year, we brought in $450,000 worth of income over that weekend.
I think they love you very much.
Oh, yeah. And that doesn't count the geo tour that we're doing. Just the meals, because we have a little stickers at the participating restaurants and the hotels put in. Mm-hmm. We had something like 1,400 meals that were connected to the Geo Tour, and wow, well over 150 hotel room nights that were connected, yeah, to the tour. And the and people that take the Geo Tour, they can get some extra points by staying, yeah, in one of our hotels or eating in one of our restaurants. So, you know, I'm able to then validate back to the city council and the mayor that what we're doing actually has value, because, you know, these people are filling out their passports and they're telling us where they came from, they're telling us how much money they spent. You know, it's perfect, because it helps me to be able to continue to get those dollars. And, you know, and we're giving them geocoins. And I still have, I think I have about 700 more geocoins for the Geo Tour. So hopefully people are going to come in and take it, because we want to give them away. It's a great memory of West Bend.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have mine. I got mine. I got mine last year.
Wow, that is good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're doing a little bit on the late side, but this is great stuff. And Craig, thank you so much for stopping on by. We did want to make a mention. Now, you actually had an interview with one of the CBS affiliates out there. We are going to have the link to this. I watched it earlier today. It is amazingly cool. A great way of spreading the word about not only the Cache Bash, but geocaching in general. And
oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
You know, Andy, and the family that you saw, that's the Eagle Rangers, and Earth Angel is Tammy Molland, who was speaking. She's the mother. And she's been on my committee really from day one.
That's
so
amazing.
You know, it was a great chance to demonstrate how, you know, it's one thing to have your little children go with you to geocache, but teenagers are usually not caught dead with their parents ever. and to see them going out geocaching together is magical.
Yeah, and I think even in the interview they had mentioned they had been geocaching for quite a while as a family already, and doing that. So that's a fun little 4 minute video. Everybody should go and check that out. And again, all you have to do is go to Geocaching Podcast and check out episode 410 in the show notes, and you'll be able to click on that link and go see it. Guys, you got any final words for Mr. Craig before we send him on his merry way?
No, Craig, I'll see you in 2 weeks, dude. I'll look for you. I'll find you.
Okay, listen, Scott, and the rest of you folks, you know, as I said, we'd love to have you. Anytime you want to come, if it's not during Cache Bash weekend, let me know. We would love to entertain you.
Awesome stuff. All right, sir. Well, thank you.
Thank you much. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Craig. It was great having you on. And we look forward to talking to you soon. I'll be curious to find out all the fun stuff on how well things went this year.
Oh, I'm sure Scott and I will be able to share some stories.
I'm really interested.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for stopping on by, and we will talk to you very soon.
Great. Thanks. See you.
All right. Talk to you later, Greg. All right, so that was awesome. We had very cool. Craig is an amazing guy. I kind of hope to check out maybe next year and have on the schedule to have the Cash Bash put on the agenda to be able to go out to. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It really is. It really is a great mega. I've been to other megas, but I mean, I go every year. I never miss it, and I make a point to never miss it. My schedule will always be clear. That's because it's so much fun to go to. Well, and, you know, it's like. I know everybody he's talking about, you know, just because you get to know the same people, you know, like the same people that run it, rather. The same people run it every year. And like he said, it's like going home. It really is like, you know, I know West Bend. I know the streets of West Bend. I know one way around West
Bend. Now, Scott, do they actually have permanent buildings in the park, or how does that work? Is it all tent work?
You're talking about for people who are selling stuff?
Yeah, for the geobash and all that.
For the there's a silver lining stage where like Walt and I are on. There's the main stage. There's a big gazebo where they have a lot of the classes. There's the main stage that has that holds all the big welcome and closing ceremonies and all that stuff. And they have mostly the vendors are in their own pup tents. You know, like throughout the they have like a big long walkway right through the middle of the park and. They're usually both sides of the walkway.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I know when you have areas that do an event year after year after year, it just gets better because
it's great.
It's really like is. You said, it's a familiar thing. Everybody knows it. You'll be able to spot out the newer things as they come along mm-hmm. with that. There's a side offshoot, the Michigan State. Or the Michigan Renaissance Festival, which happens every year, they literally have their own plot of land where they've got standard buildings and everything's built there. And it's like you said, it's like coming home. You go and you're going back to something that familiar and you've had so many cool experiences with the Geobash. It's that plus you get 66 new geocaches to go find.
And you got to remember, they don't archive the old ones.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I say they're everywhere, trust me, they are everywhere.
That's awesome.
They are everywhere.
Yeah.
And but what's great is even at Regner Park, I mean, if you bring your kids, Regner Park has a pool. It's got a pond to swim in. It's got all these, you know, different things for different people. It's this huge park that has so many different things, aside from a crap ton of geocaches. It's got just so many different things for people to do in it, you know? And the town is just—it's just great. I mean, I love West Bend. I'd move there if my kids weren't here, and you know. I would think about moving there. It's a great little town. It really is. I love going to it.
I have to admit, the submerged geocaches have my curiosity.
Yeah, that I've never done. I look forward to doing that.
That would be awesome to go skin diving or something for. That would be awesome.
Yeah, because I read about it. I saw he put in his notes, like, bring a swimsuit. I'm like, whoa, what's that all about? You know, I got to make sure to bring one because I definitely want to take care of that. You know, and
oh, my gosh, that's disgusting.
What?
If you go on the geocaching map and you just look at the 10-mile radius, that is absolutely disgusting. That is.
We're insane. Talking like Germany saturated.
You can't. There are. If you look everywhere. At the 10-mile radius, it's just they're layered on top of each other. It's so dense right there. I mean,
Corey, you should see my map because it's like I've gone there six years in a row, and like I haven't dented it. I literally, I get like 300-400 every year when I go there. You know, at least 200 minimum. I go for the weekend.
I would have to spend a week just to try.
And it's nice. I'm looking at the map. I see multi, mystery, where I go, Earth cache. Mm-hmm. There's another where I go, another mystery, another multi.
Look at Regner Park. You see Regner Park?
Letterbox.
Look at Regner. I mean, it's
yeah.
Amazing.
And yeah, it's just there is something for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's just cool.
And 70 degrees.
And the weather is beautiful.
Corey, if you get out of city proper, you'll see like all the side roads have like cash. It's all power trails on the side roads. On the back, you know, the back, you know, county roads are all just trails.
Holy cow!
Yeah, it's insane. It's, wow. If you've never gone to it, I cannot recommend it enough. I really, really can't. It's awesome. And like I say, even if I wasn't on the main stage at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, everybody should be there. I would still be there. Because I've been there when I wasn't on the main stage. You know, before me and Walt were on the main stage, I was still going to that. So it's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all right, I'm going to have to do a road trip next year.
It looks like Milwaukee. What'd you say? It looks like Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee's a big city and should look pretty dense, but when I zoom in, oh, Milwaukee's not even as dense as Westwood.
Oh, that's why he's geocaching capital of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you guys have to understand, it's this tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. It's like Milwaukee, a crap ton of nothing, and then West Bend, and then a crap ton of nothing. You know, it's a little town. And for Craig to actually bring this to this tiny little town, I mean, do you know how many people come into this tiny little town
for
a weekend?
Yeah.
Just for that. And then they're gone. They scatter.
It's like Vegas, you know?
And it's just like Rachel for the ET Highway. You know, they love geocachers because the only reason they get a lot of business is from geocachers coming in. Rachel Nevada. Right. What's Rachel Nevada famous for? Nothing. Except the ET Highway.
Have you ever heard of West Bend, Wisconsin?
Well, hopefully a lot more chamber. Go ahead.
A lot of those stores that survived on ET Highway with the UFO paraphernalia have switched over to geocaching because they were making 3, 4, or 5 times the amount of money from the geocachers that were coming and doing the ET Highway. And when they closed down the ET Highway a couple of years ago, they were all really pissed off because they lost all their extra income that they were getting. They put it out. They made some changes. You had to be further off the road and that kind of stuff.
And here's the deal. Here's the huge difference. ET Highway, same thing. It's just all about the numbers. Pick up. And it's all the same thing. West Bend, it's all different. You're going to have whatever experience you want.
Oh, yeah. I've mentally put West Bend on my geocaching bucket list.
Yeah, that's got more of a thrill. Should. I've got no intention of going down to ET Highway. I mean, I really enjoy Clay Four and White Wolf Den. I like the guys who put out ET Highway. I used to have lunch with them, breakfast with them every year and go caching with them. I really enjoy the guys.
Yeah,
but I have no intentions of going down to ET Highway because I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I love the variety. I love the absolute variety. And if the saturation is that thick and the creativity is there and they can keep up that many caches updated and maintained, man, I'll tell you what, it's just like West Virginia, same thing. You know, I would hate to think to see what would happen if West Virginia Tim and Craig met together. I think the geocaching world would just implode.
Yeah. I look at my geocaching list and you know who my number one, the most caches from a hider I have is Ecomaven, and Ecomaven is one of the main people of West Bend.
Yeah,
you know it's that's where I find my most caches is in West Bend.
Yeah, so they're definitely going to be on my list for next year to go to.
It's awesome. If anybody listening or watching, I highly recommend it. You will not have a bad time. It's a great.
That's on my list for next year too. Because after Block Party ends, I'm going to have to find something else to do.
There you go.
And it's one of the reasons it's one of the reasons I've never gone to the Block Party is because it's always Block Party is always a week after West Bend.
Yeah.
And I have a choice of where I want to spend my money.
Yeah.
And I always choose West Bend. Always. I mean, granted, it's an hour and a half away compared to a plane ride. You know, I mean,
right.
It's not that difficult, but I'd rather go to West Bend.
Yeah.
I would. It's fun for me.
All right,
it's
guys.
I see so many people I know. You know, I walk around and see people I know. It's great.
It's going to be good. All right, folks. Well, thank you. Thank you, Scott, for taking over tonight. Excellent job. Good stuff. Guys, thank you for being here. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you, fine folks, for coming on by each and every week and subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right. I think we can move on here. We want to say a special thanks to Lisa from Cash-Advance. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.